So I'm here with sisters, and we're going to share some scriptures, some thoughts on them, and just kind of take turns and see where it goes. So maybe Sister Kara, you want to start?
Sure. So my first scripture verse is 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And I like that. I like that verse because I came out of a false religious cult called the Hutterites, and things in there were very confusing at times. And I love how clear this verse is. It just doesn't leave any room for doubt. It's so simple and true.
Amen.
And I love that about God's word. And then there's the next verse I have is Isaiah 50:7. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. And I love that verse. Setting your face like a flint toward Christ, because we know that there's going to be lots of troubles and trials and tribulations and hard times to go through. And I love how you can set your face like a flint toward Christ through it all, and he's going to help you through it.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah, flint, it means like rock. So you think about that. You think of flint, but then you put the word rock by it, the Hebrew word for it. It's like, yeah, that's a rock solid way. You're setting it. You're not moving. That's the way you're going to go. You're on that path. I love that. Yeah. Set your face like flint. Hey, before you go on to, or did you have more notes on that?
No, it's okay.
I was going to comment on the first one. What was it? 1 John?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Hold on. Oh, no, that's okay. Hold on.
Okay.
I had one, and I was thinking in the Old Testament there's one about the be not deceived, right? Let me see what you have. Yep, yes. Let no man deceive you. And I was thinking about be not deceived. You know, we have a lot of warnings about that in there. And I wanted to read Deuteronomy 11. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And, you know, when you get deceived by false teachers, your heart is turning away from the truth because you're allowing it. You're not testing it. You're not going to the word. And so you're like lifting up a false teacher more so than the word of God, right?
Oh, that's true. Yes.
Yeah.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, so I was just thinking about that. Before you do any more, Sister Kyle, did you have anything to add to those two?
Oh, well, they're both awesome, but, you know, it's a simple test. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. It's like a test, and there's one somewhere about, I think about loving the brethren. If you don't love the brethren, you're not of God, basically.
Right.
So many tests, like, we can test people to the scriptures by their fruit.
Right, amen.
And don't be deceived. As it says, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom, so.
Right, amen.
Yeah.
You know, we have such a powerful God, we have no reason to be deceived, do we?
No, and we've got his word, and it's so deep, and we keep digging in, and
right,
lest we be deceived. You know.
Yeah, so we look
at... Yeah, it's awesome, I love it.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. No, you go. I was going on to the next scripture. You go.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about Eve in the garden being deceived. She had everything, didn't she? She had one command, and she couldn't even do that. She allowed herself to be deceived. And we see, I forget what the scripture is. It talks about you're led away by the lust within you, and then you end up, it ends up turning into sin. It's the deceitfulness within us. It's the sin within us that allows us to be deceived. And I know out on the streets, I like to share with the women, when they say, I've been a Christian for 30, 40 years, or even 20 or 10, it doesn't matter. I always warn them, you know, the Holy Spirit's not going to leave you in deception. It's our own flesh and our rebellion that allows us to be deceived for long periods of time. Let me add that. Somebody could be a little bit deceived by being taught, but if you're testing to the scriptures, it's not going to be long when you're going to see the truth, right? It just shows how powerful our God is to protect us, right?
That's amen. And yeah, the Holy Spirit of truth is not going to let anyone just stay in a lie. He's going to lead out of it. to himself because he has the truth.
Right.
Yeah. And if you have like a truly willing heart to search the scriptures, you're going to find, you know, it's like if you're not doing that, then you can be deceived as well.
Yeah, that would be sinful for not searching the scriptures and looking for the truth. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So, I forget where we are. You read two. Did Sister Kyle, did you just read one?
Oh, no.
No, well, we got
to. Oh, she was commenting on yours.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay if you want to read your next one then. Go ahead.
Okay. So, my last verse is Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I love that verse. It's like your old self and your old life is gone, and behind you, you're crucified with Christ. I guess we still have to work on the crucifying every day,
mm-hmm.
till we die, our flesh. And nevertheless, I live, yet I'm still alive, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live is, I live in the faith of the Son of God.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that verse.
Yeah.
And the part about loving, because he loved us and gave himself for us. Gave himself for me. Then that's what we're supposed to lift up.
Amen. So. Right. And I was thinking about 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So us being crucified in Christ, we're new creations. Everything in the past is gone. And we press forth in him, in our new life. Thankful for everything he's done. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an awesome like point to think about death and life. We died with Christ and alive with him. It's kind of like, is baptism a symbol of that? And so,
mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I've got the scriptures about that. I just can't find one right now, but yeah.
Make a note. Maybe you can bring it next time.
Yeah.
We can do that.
But it's an awesome scripture.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's awesome. Do you want to read yours, Sister? Sister Kyle, I mean.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Sister Kyle. Because you and I, we were just talking here. For you, if you want to read yours.
All of them or just one?
Oh, you can read them all. Go ahead.
Okay.
And then we'll just comment on each one if we want.
Yeah. And obviously, it's hard to pick favorite scriptures, but it's just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
One of many. Some of many.
Yeah, we won't call these favorite scriptures. We'll just call them scriptures. Because we'll be here all day if we pick favorites, right?
Just meaningful scriptures.
Right, exactly.
Awesome scriptures that we can share today. So, John 14:21 I have. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I just love knowing how we can love God, and, you know, because there's only false opinions of it, and people just think you can do it in your heart and have feelings of loving God, but it's not true. You know, we're not in a relationship with him. We're in a covenant, and so we have our part to do, and that's how we love him, by, you know, looking into his word and seeing what his commandments are, to love him. And every day doing that over and over and searching the scriptures and seeing what he wants from us. And so I really love that, because, you know, we know how we love him. And so there's no doubt in our minds about how we do that, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because if you think about it, it's part of if you're going to love him and keep his commandments, that encompasses your whole life, laying down your whole life in order to keep his commandments. And to dig into that would be very, very long list of all the things that we do to sacrifice out of ourselves to keep his commandments, just like he sacrificed everything for us.
Hmm.
Leaving our friends, our family, disassociating with false teachers and lies and doing what is righteous and good and forsaking all that is wicked and evil that we used to do. That could be a long list. But yeah, I was also looking at John 14:15. I use this on the street. I always say John 14:15 and John 15:14. If you love me, keep my commandments. And if you want to be his friend, you have to keep his commandments. And it's a good one because a lot of people run around just saying God is love, God is love. They just think love is just overlooking sin. And then everybody's got a card to get in heaven. And that's not true. We see many scriptures on how we are to love God. And it all points to keeping his commandments. And we see in Romans 12:2 that we're to be a living sacrifice. And that's part of our love for him, is sacrificing everything and keeping his commandments and laying down our life, right?
Yes. Amen. You said something. Maybe it was about works. I don't know, but it reminded me of this verse, Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know, they often say, well, you're working your way to heaven, but we're actually just loving God and keeping his commands.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to be zealous of good works.
Amen. Yeah, it's not legalism. It's obedience.
Yes, right, which is loving him.
Right, so. Yeah, I love that. That was a good one to bring up.
Yeah. It's our faith too.
Mm-hmm.
Truly believing him and all he said.
Right, and trusting him. Go ahead.
Love that part too that says, "He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father."
Mm-hmm.
So, we know that lie about if everyone's saying God loves everyone. Not everyone saying that, but most people.
Yeah, most people do say that. Yeah, that's true. God loves everyone. No, only those who love Christ. And how do you love him? By keeping his commandments. Only those who keep his commandments are going to be loved by the Father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's awesome we can know
that. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay, time for my next one, is it? Or do you want to go, Sister Armin?
Oh, no. Go ahead. If you want to just go do your next one, go ahead.
Okay. Let's just do that. Mm-hmm. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I love, like, keeping that in mind because, you know, it reminds us how much we need him. We're nothing without him, and we are to be. Goes along with that scripture, Sister Cara, you read about crucified with him. We're not our own anymore. We're to be lowly. And we know we'll be persecuted by the world. So we know the Lord will exalt us. You know, we're meant to be striving to be humble and servants. And so I love that one.
Yeah.
It's in with our life and what we're feeling. Well, we should be, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you said it, being humble and lowly. And if you look at in the Matthew 5 there, blessed are, it just keeps going on there, and then it lists poor, those that mourn, those who are meek, those who are hunger and thirst after righteousness, and merciful, and pure in heart, and peacemakers. It really paints that picture of a humble, contrite person seeking after the things of God.
Amen.
Kind of puts your flesh in place, God's doesn't way. It?
God's ways are the opposite of man's ways, you know?
Yeah, man wants to be high and lofty, whereas God says, you be lowly.
Yeah, and something that...
We want to be.
A verse that should help us keep our flesh in check is, God resists the proud, but mm-hmm. giveth grace to the humble. I don't want to be in a position where God resists me.
Right. Amen. Yeah, definitely not. Yeah, so that was a good one too, sister. Thank you. You have another one, right?
I do.
Oh, nice.
It kind of goes along with that.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, but not really, but it's several verses, so. And I know we've shared it a lot, but I think it's one to keep in mind always, as all the scriptures are, so.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 17:10. But which of you, having a servant ploughing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And so, I like it for several reasons. One, because, you know, oftentimes we have people telling us we're prideful by just keeping his commandment, doing what we should, and, you know, that reminds us that we're just doing our duty. And I think you mentioned that scripture from Romans 12.
One. I was just looking at that one, yeah. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Yes, and so, and also it's a reminder to us, like, because, you know, most people aren't doing all that the Lord has commanded, and so we don't want to think we're doing anything more than we should be just by doing it, and
right.
No glory to us, and just doing our duty in reasonable service.
Amen.
Nothing more, and we don't want, we dare not do anything less, you know?
Right.
Amen.
So
keeps our flesh in check, doesn't it? Yeah.
It does, and encourages us when people are saying, you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, we just consider the source on that, too. And we go look to the source of our life and our light and our truth and confirm it, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
I know, we don't listen to people.
Yeah, but we hear it all the time, so we have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And we deal with it with the word.
Yes, as always,
yeah.
It sets us straight on everything.
Yeah. So I have Psalm 97, 1 through 6. I know sometimes I always go to the same scripture, so I was trying to find a few different ones. Because being on the street, we do a lot of the same ones, so it was good. I enjoyed digging around, looking for some other ones. Psalm 97, 1 through 6. I love this because it shows a great picture in the power of God. Well, it's only one example of the many. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him, righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him, and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world, the earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord, the whole earth, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. And there's a whole lot in there. I just like reading that because you know what that does? It just helps reset my mind. You know, we're so small on this earth. And as we travel around, moving here and there with no place to go, not even a cave to go hide in from the world, we're out here exposed. I read things like that and I'm like, he's in charge of it all. Our Father sees everything. You know, there's nothing that his eyes don't see that aren't going to be uncovered. The scriptures say that too. And when I see this, it's like, yeah, it's pretty amazing. It just helps strengthen you. Like, yeah, he's got it all under control. We just go and do what we do, and whatever happens, he's watching. And yeah, it's just, I love that. It's pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
Me too.
Yeah, like when...
Oh, you go first.
Oh, okay. No, Sister Ellen said it well, you know, when things are like, when there's issues going on in our lives and, you know, we're told to expect them, but just remember the Lord reigns and he's got it all under control, and it'll all be good if we keep striving after him, trusting in him. And,
right.
You know, the world is like living in fear, but we've been told to, what's that scripture about? When Jesus was telling them about all the things that will be in the end times, not to be afraid and not be troubled.
Right, because all those things have to come to pass.
Yes, he reigns.
Yep. Yeah, amen. He does reign. He started it. He created it. He's going to end it and continue it the way he wants it to be. Yeah.
Yeah. I just had a thought to add, like, when you're out in the world, especially doing street ministry, and you see that the complete lack of fear of God and reverence of God, it just helps to read scriptures like this to get your perspective right in how high and holy and lofty and to be magnified and praised the Lord is.
Oh, yeah.
Because, Pete, you know, you sometimes look at all the irreverence and the lack of fear and you're like... Just maybe taken aback. Maybe it can get your perspective wrong. Maybe it can get you discouraged. And
right.
Reading scriptures like this just helps you put your mind right.
Yeah, it does. Because then you look at those people who don't fear God and you kind of have empathy for them because they don't realize what the end really is. They're allowing themselves to be deceived, like we were just talking about, being not deceived. They're allowing themselves to be deceived, or they're just leading themselves after their flesh. And when you see how high and mighty a God is, he's going to destroy his enemies. It says he burneth up his enemies round about. They're obviously not reading the scriptures, but we can be a shining light to them.
Yeah, they really have a different God.
Mm-hmm. But we stand for the true one living God.
Amen.
So, all right, yeah, I did pick one of my favorite ones here. I'll just say, I know we don't, this was very, very instrumental to me in the beginning, because there were a lot of things going on, and I go to this when my flesh gets to me a little bit more, whether it's seeing too many people turn away from the truth, you know, come close and turn away, and then they go into darkness. Maybe being out on the street, sometimes if you're not careful, you can get in the flesh and everybody just looks like they're walking off a cliff. And so I read this one and it like instantly gets me right. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but this right here, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I love that part because it also says, I have spoken to you. These things I have spoken to you. And we know the world was created by the spoken word. And Jesus spoke them. And he is the word. We see in John, he's the word. And the word was manifest in the flesh. And now we have the word. And it's speaking to us today. So it's like he's speaking to us. Be of good cheer because he's overcome the world. And overcome means subdue, conquer, prevail. Get the victory. I love looking into the deeper words there. And so how can we not be of good cheer, sisters, right?
Amen.
Amen.
How can we not, with that perspective and with our great Lord?
Right. And it's a command.
It is. I like that.
Mm-hmm. He tells us, be of good cheer. So if we're not of good cheer, we better be. Because why? He's overcome the world. Right?
Yes, and I've been told to rejoice in persecution, and everything else.
Oh,
yeah. Rejoice evermore.
Yep. I love that one. Go ahead.
I was going to read, the companion verse to that one.
Mm-hmm.
John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, that is a peace that you can't even explain, really. I mean, you can try, but it is so different from the world, you know. Coming from the world, you're trying to satisfy the lust of the flesh and the hopelessness that, you know, what's ahead and the unknown. And now, on the other side, in Christ, our life lived for him, we get that peace. And it's just so settling and so solid and so calm. I love that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So how could we not be of good cheer then with all these different things?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I got one more, and this one is like a key instrumental verse I use out on the streets to warn people, because you don't always get a lot of time with them. And so I use this a lot because it struck a lot of fear in me, and it really shaped me up in the beginning to strive hard for the truth. Revelation 22:14-15. Blessed are they that do his commandments. There's that commandments and doing it. And what is that? We love God by doing his commandments. So blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates to the city. For without our dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And you can use that verse for pretty much every single person you meet in churchianity or outside of it, because whether they are doing any of those other things or not, they're all loving and practicing a lie, whether it's unbelief or whether it's in man-made religion or whether it's whatever it is that they're believing and thinking. If they're not truly following after the truth, they're loving and making and practicing at least one lie. And one unrepentant lie is going to leave you outside the gates of heaven. And so that's a pretty powerful verse there. And hopefully people wake up when they hear that. It's pretty scary. In fact, you know, just as I said that, we were on the streets not long ago. And a woman, well, I guess I won't give the details on it, but she said, "What verse is that?" And I repeated it. She goes, "I've never heard that one before." So she picked up her phone and she spoke it in her notes there, and she was going to go look it up. So I hope she did. I just thought about that. I really hope she did. I had maybe a 15-minute conversation with her, and she was kind of pushing back a little bit, but I could tell by her demeanor it was one of those, well, what about this one and what about that one? And so maybe some seeds went in there, and that one really, really went, that one hit her good. So, yeah, it's pretty scary, isn't it?
It is, yes.
And why the truth is important.
Well, Jesus is the truth.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah, and one thing, we should have fear. One thing will keep us outside the gates of heaven if we don't repent of it, if we don't let go of it, if we don't lay it down, we don't forsake it. Look at Ananias and Sapphira after grace had come. I always say that with this verse, too. And a lot of people miss this. 1 Corinthians 11, and in the part about the Lord's Supper, people are sick and sleeping, which means dead. You think that would be a punishment from God because they're taking the Lord's Supper unworthily. And people take things so lax. We want to be very diligent, because is it Peter that says, if the righteous are scarcely saved, what about the ungodly?
Yeah, that is in Peter. Yes.
And what about the other one? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That goes along with us knowing how holy and high and mighty God is. And therefore, we ought to be lowly in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And it comes around to loving him and keeping his commandments. So we can hook all these together, right?
Amen. But yeah. True.
Yeah.
They must be read. Well, we know we live by every word out of the mouth of God, but these things are right there in scriptures, but people don't see them, or they don't want to see them or something.
Right.
Well, you know, there's things we see that we didn't see, obviously. So, yeah, the Lord opens our eyes.
Yeah. Yep. And we just continue searching, and he knows who has a willing heart, and he will keep revealing to those who are seeking diligently, right?
Amen.
Right.
I love that part about have right to the tree of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not just a given. Not like what the world says, you know, they just automatically assume that they're going to get it. No, you have to have the right. And through the gospel. Who would like to share the gospel?
I could share the gospel.
That'd be great. And I think that would be a good way to end our audio. Feel free to share the gospel.
Yeah, you must come through the gospel, through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And believe that he died for you and shed his blood for you and was buried and was resurrected. You place your faith in him, which is a moral conviction and a firm persuasion to follow after him and trust in him. And then you must repent to him. You have to turn away from your sin and change your ways to God and his ways. And when God sees that willing heart, willing to lay down their life for him, he'll send his Holy Spirit, and you can become born again from above through the Holy Spirit of God. And then as fruit that you're now a child of God, you grow in holiness and obedience, and you endure in this saving faith to the end. That's the gospel by which we must be saved.
Amen. Praise God. I love that. I never tire of hearing it or saying it. All right.
Amen.
Hopefully this was an encouragement to any listening. We love you all.
We love you, sisters. Press on.
Amen.
Amen.